Okay, this is the moment on Sever Sounds. We're gonna hand in the sounds to the British Library.
Oh, right.
See, this is why you need me.
There's another one in the case.
Just in case.
I'm gonna boo about it.
Right, we're being audio booed as well. So, hello, Boo fans.
Hello, Boo fans.
So, Kate, if you'd like to do the honours.
Well, as you can see, all the sounds now are safe.
Thank you very much, and they'll be safely preserved at the British Library. Perhaps I can say a little bit why we're interested in this project. I think it's a fantastic project. I'm head of the Sound Archive in the British Library, and we look after... the British Library has something like 150 million items from the sort of dawn of recording information on clay pots up to the latest DVD in the charts. And I work in the Sound Archive, and we have something like 3.5 million sound recordings. Most of them are music, commercial music produced in the UK, also sounds, so broadcasts, documentaries or histories, but also sound effects from around the world. In fact, my background is as a scientist collecting sounds of nature. So I'm absolutely thrilled to be with this project. It's really captured the public imagination. Congratulations to the BBC. And of course, working in a national library where the majority of the material is rows and rows of shelves of books, I'm thrilled to be among company of people who appreciate the value of sounds. And as, I think it was Murray Schafer who said, who's the father of the word soundscape, said, you know, picture's worth 1,000 words, sound recording's worth 1,000 pictures. So for us who work with sound, it really does capture the essence of a time and a place, and this is why it's so important. And I was reading a book recently by Carl Sagan and others. Some of you may have read it. There's a book called The World Murmurs, or Murmurs of the World. And it's an account of a fantastic to read. It's an account of a unique archive that's currently headed outside our solar system on the Voyager 1 and 2 spacecrafts. So they were launched in 1977, and NASA wanted to represent what life on Earth was like. What's the best way to do it? Of course, the thing with iPods in those days. They decided to bolt on the outside of the spacecraft a gold-plated copper disc. And this disc runs at 16 2/3 RPM. So it's got more than an hour's worth of sound on it. And they were very serious about this. They had a committee selecting sounds from around the world to represent the planet Earth. In the unlikely event, but possible, that an alien intercepted the spacecraft, if they were intelligent enough to intercept a spacecraft light years away from the planet Earth, they'd probably be able to invent a phonograph and play the disc. So they put on quite a lot of music, and they asked. They set up a committee to ask what music should represent the pinnacle of human intelligence, emotion, and culture. So there's quite this Chuck Berry on there, so on and so forth. Fantastic arrangement of music. There's an Indian raga. There's three pieces of Bach, and apparently someone on the committee said, "Why don't we just do just Bach?" And the response was, "Well, that would be boasting." But besides music, there's also natural sounds. So there is the sounds of buses, there's the sounds of geysers, mud flats, there's the sounds of bird song, sounds of street sounds. And this is currently heading outside our planet. Started 30 years ago, and I gather in 40,000 years' time, it'll be a few light years away from the nearest star. So, bringing it forward to BBC SOS, maybe this is another time capsule or a message in a bottle of the planet Earth. All credit to you and your team for capturing the sounds of planet Earth in this wonderful way, in this wonderful interactive way, bringing citizens of the planet together to capture this material. We're very pleased to take this on. Thank you for your